Hello everyone, welcome to the Pericaleo Podcast. I'm your host, Ashton Wright. I want you to know that I am so thankful that you are with us today. I hope this episode encourages, comforts, and empowers you to live your life for the glory of God. I have a great topic for you today, and it's going to be found in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to go from verse 13 of chapter 1 into chapter 2, verse 3. And you may ask yourself, you may ask the question, why are we going into another chapter when there are, there's a subheading in most, different Bibles or translations have subheadings in different places. But I want to show you that the Bible wouldn't have been written, the originals would not have been written with subheadings. They wouldn't have been written with chapters and verses. They would have been one complete work, all that you would read it all at the same time. So the chapters and verses and the subheadings are added by the editors of that specific translation. The subheadings are added by the editors of that specific translation. So if you have an ESV like I do, you will see there that it's kind of broken up by not only a chapter, but also by a subheading. But as we read through this, I'll show you how these three passages are actually, or I'm sorry, how this passage is tied together by three distinct, sentences or phrases. That's probably a better word for it. Phrase. There's a specific phrase that is used, and as we read, I will show you those three phrases, okay? So let's start together, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, and I'm going to read the whole thing because the scripture is the most important, right? And the title of today's podcast is The Precious Blood, The Precious Blood. So let's look at this together. It says, therefore. So Peter is, and of course I'm not reading the verse anymore, but it says, therefore, so as a result of the living hope that you have, therefore, prepare your minds for action. And being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. And as I read this, pick up how many times it talks about holiness and even obedience. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Verse 16 says, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the, and this is where the title comes from, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And then look at this phrase. Since you have been born again. So you were ransomed. This is what it says in, I'm going to show you these two phrases. You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers by the precious blood of Christ. You were ransomed. You were bought with a price. Then Peter says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. He says, you were ransomed. You were born again by the gospel, by the word of God. And then look at chapter 2, verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And those are things that are against other people. If you notice that, those are all things against other people. Being malicious, deceitful, hypocritical, envious, slanderous. Those are all things against others. How we interact with others. Then look at verse 2 of chapter 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So what three phrases was I talking about earlier? That you've been ransomed by the precious blood of Christ. You've been born again by the word of God, by the gospel. And then he says, you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Three phrases that kind of tie this passage together. All talking about salvation, all talking about being saved and born again and forgiven and being made right with God. So the question is what are those three phrases? Why does Peter use those three phrases? Or you could say, why does Peter use that theme of being saved, of being born again by the precious blood of Christ? You've been born again by the gospel, by hearing the gospel, because of the precious blood of Jesus. You can taste and see that the Lord is good. Because of the precious blood of Jesus, you've been born again, and you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. That's truth. That is truth. And so the question is, well, what does that matter? What implications does that have? I mean, if we've been ransomed by the precious blood of Jesus, we've been born again. We were spiritually dead, but God has made us spiritually alive through Christ. We've been born again. By hearing the gospel, we've believed the gospel, we've been born again, and we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. So what then are the implications? Well, Peter tells us. Look at verses 13 through 21 again. He tells us the precious blood calls us to holiness. Remember how many times I told you, count how many times it talks about holiness and obedience. As obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance, of your fleshly passions. Instead, be holy as God is holy. He says that your conduct should be holy, that you should walk in fear of God. And so the precious blood, it cost Jesus his life. And that's the first main point I want to make. The first implication, if you will. The first application, if you will. That the precious blood calls us to holiness. That Jesus died for us. Jesus spilled his blood for us. And if we ever get to the point where we just take that lightly or irreverently, then we truly do not understand what it cost Jesus. We don't understand what it meant for the very Son of God to step down from the glories of heaven, to be clothed in human flesh, to be born of a virgin, the lowliest of lows in being born of a virgin in a horse stable, in a stable. And to be born to an unwedded mother, to be born in an obscure place. And then that Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, would be born in such a way, but that he would live a perfect life and yet die at the hands of the ones he came to save. That Jesus, even though he was perfect and sinless, God's Son, experienced the full cup of God's wrath for us. We were the ones that are rebellious against God. We're the ones that have disobeyed. We're the ones that deserve judgment. But Jesus took it for us. He was our substitute. And that Jesus was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later he was raised to life. He overcame sin, he overcame death, and now he's seated at the right hand of God. But please understand, Christian that's listening, and even if you're not a Christian, that Jesus spilled his blood. He gave the precious blood of Jesus was spilt for the sins of the world. And that calls us to holiness. How, if Jesus, it cost him his life, that the price for our sin was the precious blood of Jesus. If that's the case, how in the world can we continue in the sins that he died for? That if it cost Jesus his life, it cost him everything, How in the world can we walk in wickedness? How in the world can we walk in the things that God hates? And so what's the motive? What's the reasoning? Why would we walk in holiness? Because of the precious blood of Jesus? Because you've been bought with a price? You matter too much to God to walk in wickedness. But what's the other implication? Well, look at verses 22 through chapter 2, verse 1. Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And he tells us that the word of the Lord remains forever, and that we're born again by the word of God, that we hear the word of God, we hear the gospel, we hear about the precious blood of Jesus, what Jesus did for us, and we hear what it cost him, and we're born again by the Holy Spirit and by the word of God. What does the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Literally, the Holy Spirit causes us to be born again, but it's only when we hear the word of God. It's only when we hear the gospel, what Jesus did and what it cost him. And because of that, because we've been born again by the word of God and by the Holy Spirit, the second thing, the precious blood, calls us to love others. It calls us to love others. Listen, you have to imagine for a moment. Imagine with me for a moment. You're in the midst of persecution. The people that Peter is writing to, they're in the midst of various trials. He even mentions that in chapter 1. He says, you're enduring various trials of many kinds. You know, they're facing persecution. Their homes are being destroyed. Their loved ones are being killed. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their livelihood, their security. Any type of securities, physical, earthly securities they have, they've lost. They know at any day they could be killed for their faith. The government is coming so hard against them. They're taking everything from them, the Roman government. They're literally losing everything. And Peter says, love one another. But not just love one another, but love others. That's what he says, isn't it? He says that they should, look at verse 22, love one another earnestly from a pure heart since you've been born again. There's this call to not only holiness, you know, our walk with God and our holiness, how we live out our relationship with God, but it's also a call to love others. Love one another when it's difficult. Love others whenever it seems impossible. And you may even ask the question, how in the world how could they love one another and how could they love others? How could they do this? It's impossible. And Peter says, oh, it is impossible. The only way that it's possible is that you've been born again. You can't love others. You can't love one another above all else. You can't look past one another's, how people have wronged you, and you can't overcome these things. No, it's impossible. You can't overcome the challenges of this world. You can't overcome the strife and the difficulties that you have with one another. You can't. He says the only way you can is because you've been born again. Because you've heard the word of God. You've heard the gospel, how God's forgiven you. How Jesus gave his life for you, and you've been born again. That's how you can love one another. See, it's impossible for the world to love one another. They always have wrong motives. They always have, you know, there's this, yeah, I'll love you, but what do I get out of it? That's their motive. But Christians have the ability to love others sacrificially with brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. We can do that because we've been born again. So he says the precious blood calls us to holiness. It calls us to love others. But lastly, look what it says in verses 2 through 3. It says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, and by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Lastly, Peter exhorts us to love and long for the word of God. Our motive. And once again, what's the motive? Why should we love the word of God? Why should we long for the word of God? Because we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Our motive is that the more we know God, the more we love Him. Once we know God through salvation, our relationship with Him grows through the Word, and we enjoy it even more. And, you know, it reminds me of the first time we gave my son Asher sugar. And I'm not saying, well, we just gave him like spoonfuls of sugar, but if you've ever seen, you know, a toddler or even a baby that's, you know, never had chocolate, never had, sweet drink, sweet tea, or, really any sweet drink for that matter, once they taste it, they want more. And it gets to the point where that's all they would eat if they had the opportunity. You know, my son, I think, would eat just cookies if he had the opportunity. Cheerios, cookies, you know, suckers like lollipops and dum-dums, and he would drink soda if we gave it to him. Listen, he wants sugar now all the time, and we've kind of created a monster. But my point is once he tasted how sweet it was, once he tasted how good sugar tasted, and how it felt consuming it, and what it tastes like, once he had a little bit, he wanted more. And I relate that to, once we taste that the Lord is good, we can never get enough. Once you've truly experienced salvation, you know what Jesus has done for you. You've heard the gospel. And as you read through the Word of God, you see how good God is. You've experienced and tasted that God is so good. When you do that, you can never get enough of it. And Peter says, listen, the precious blood of Jesus calls you to holiness. It calls you to love others, and it calls you to love the Word. And so you say, well, what's the motivation? Why would we do that? Why should we do these things? Because of the precious blood of Jesus. And the more that you know God, the more you love God. And Peter says, that's why you ought to long for the Word. Because if you want to walk in holiness, if you want to love others, if you want to taste and know God deeper, it's through the Word. And so you see all three of these things, actually, they point to one another. They're all important. And so I encourage you to if you're a Christian, I want you to know that the precious blood of Jesus calls you to holiness. Man, you're called to live. God is holy. You're called to live holy. We are to reflect and represent His name with integrity, with holiness. We're called to love others. We've been born again. We can love people the way that God has called us to now because of the fact that we've been born again. We've been saved and changed spiritually. We can love others with Christ-like love. And Peter calls us. He says, because of the precious blood of Jesus, love others. And lastly, the precious blood of Jesus calls us to love the Word. Thank you for listening today. If this episode exhorted, comforted, or encouraged you, please share it with others. I can't wait to be with you again soon. Be blessed, my friends.